This is The Reason Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Gillespie. Please subscribe to us at iTunes or at Google or wherever you get your podcasts, and rate and review us while you're there. Today, we're talking with Rachel Goldsmith. She's the executive director of the Free State Project, the group that is moving 20,000 liberty-minded activists to New Hampshire to take over the state government and change the world. And we're finding out what's going on with that long-term project. Rachel, thanks for joining Reason.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
So to start with, run us through the quick history of the Free State Project. And where are you at in terms of moving people to New Hampshire in order to take over the that small part of the world?
Yeah, so the quick and dirty is that in 2001, Jason Sorens came up with this idea to basically bring a liberty wave, a wave of freedom to a small state, and work within that state, both politically, but also outside of the system, to activate liberty ideas. And so we triggered the move. Basically, we encouraged people to sign what's called an assurance contract, that they promised once all 20,000 people signed to move to New Hampshire and, exert the fullest practical effort to achieve liberty in our lifetime. So we reached those 20,000 signers back in 2016. And at this point, we have about 5,000 free staters in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And those are people who are in the project, are official members, and live there full time.
Yes. Yeah, so we don't have members because that's like a whole legal shenanigan, but we do have participants. Yes, all of our participants are full time in New Hampshire. And that includes both people who moved here, but also people who were lucky enough to already be in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. And who promised to do the same thing, exert the fullest practical effort to achieve a society in which the maximal role of government is the protection of life, liberty, and property.
All right. So is there an increasing velocity in the number of people who are showing up on a day-to-day basis, either being converted, longtime New Hampshire residents, or people actually picking up and moving there who are saying on a day-to-day basis, you know what, I'm part of the Free State Project?
Yeah, well, so for a long time, people have been kind of hypothesizing that this is going to be an exponential increase. And we did see that with signers from 2003. I think we started officially taking statements of mm-hmm. intent. And then in 2016, when we reached that 20,000 number, I think there was, the most signers were that same year. And similarly with movers, we did have kind of a slower trickle at first. But this year we had twice as many movers as last year. Mm-hmm. Last year we had twice as many movers as the year before. So it's been pretty inspiring, I would say.
What is the? Can you give? And I realize this is probably a fool's errand, but what is a typical profile of somebody who has not only joined or signed a letter of intent to be part of the Free State Project, but has actually moved there?
So I think that there are kind of waves of personalities. Right now, we're definitely in the family wave. We have a lot of folks with kids, young professionals who are considering having kids, who are coming to our events and are seeing that, family is a libertarian issue, in my opinion. I mean, we're talking about birthing rights, we're talking about schooling rights, we're talking about, choosing whether or not you're going to put your family's protection in the hands of the state or in your own hands. So a lot of families come and they see that the Free State Project and these concepts are good for families and they choose to move here.
What is the, I'll give you 15 seconds to advertise why New Hampshire, apart from the climate and the community that you're building there, why is New Hampshire a good place for anybody to move?
I don't think 15 seconds is enough. I mean, so we have over 400 liberty meetups every single year in New Hampshire. I mean, that's more than the rest of the country combined. We have activists who are working outside of the system to provide economic freedom, social freedom, political freedom to everybody in New Hampshire. If you care about getting things done, this is the place for you. If you care about living by yourself, this is the place for you too. So it's kind of a catch-all for anybody who wants to have freedom, really.
And you know, what is the age range? Is there, you mentioned that a lot of people coming now, that you're in a kind of family wave, that people are recognizing that this is a great place to build the life that they want, not just for themselves, but their family. What's the average age, or what's the kind of age range of the people who are showing up these days?
So the youngest statement legally signable is 18. And oldest is, on death's door.
Yeah.
But I would say probably the average is like early 30s, maybe late 20s, which isn't to say that we don't have a active retirement community as well. I mean, there's a lot of people who, like, their kids are already through college, so they don't have anything keeping them, where they used to live. And so then they come out here, and this is kind of like an inspiring second phase or third phase, or I don't know how old you have to be in order to have how many phases, but they sort of to do their life crisis and care about freedom and all the things that they've been complaining about to their neighbors for the past 60 years. They're like, fuck it, I'm going to New Hampshire.
I want to talk with you about New Hampshire's primaries and the successes and inroads you're making in the electoral process there. But before we do that, you were talking about how you guys work both within and without the system. Talk a little bit about what it means to work outside of the system. And by that, I guess you're talking about kind of electoral politics.
So really any political activism, I would consider working within the system. When I talk about outside of the system, I'm talking about people who are, starting businesses, who are starting nonprofits and charities that, don't take government money and do good and make New Hampshire a better place. And we've had, I think, something like over 100 businesses and nonprofits started by our participants. And that means that they've added both to the New Hampshire economy and that they've also created New Hampshire as an environment where people are being taken care of through private charity and not because there's some sort of social justice that the government is doling out.
What's an example of some of the businesses that your members have started and some of the charities?
In terms of businesses, it kind of runs the gamut. We have apartment management, real estate. We have people who run like calling centers. We have blockchain businesses, a ton of crypto businesses are both started and continue to function here in New Hampshire. In fact, the very first Bitcoin ATM was built and hosted in New Hampshire.
So it's a super hotbed. I mean, you guys also have a lot of kind of refugees from the Silicon Valley or the computer industry cognates of the greater Boston area, right? Because you're not all that far. New Hampshire is obviously in the greater Boston area.
Yeah, I think Portsmouth has the highest density of businesses that accept crypto for like a coffee in the world, like per capita.
Yeah. How has that been playing? And again, before we get to the election stuff, how is it playing with native New Hampshire residents? Because, New Hampshire is one of those states where it used to be for a long time a very Republican state. Now it has a much more mixed political profile, and it has Democrats as well as Republicans in statewide office and things like that. It's also, like Vermont and Maine, it's very flinty and kind of, at least in popular imagination, it's always a place where people are resistant to change and they don't like newcomers and, all of that. I mean, they'll help you. Drag you out of a ditch or something like that, but they won't necessarily invite you over to their house. How is the Free State Project playing with native New Hampshireites?
I think for the most part, our participants have a really similar mentality to the New England persona in the sense that, they really kind of want to like do their own thing and not bother anybody else and not be bothered. So there's a lot of instances, anecdotes where people move into a new and just start getting to know the neighbors. And then it's not, you know, 5 years later, the rest of the neighbors find out, oh, these guys are free seaters. Oh, I heard about that. You know, now maybe I should go talk to them.
Yeah. So, and I mean, there have been some publicized incidences in places like Keene and elsewhere where, you know, the power structure, the establishment has been pretty pissed at Free State Project people. Is that mellowing out at all? Or is it getting more intense as you guys show up in greater numbers?
It depends on what part of the establishment you're talking about. There are a lot of people in the state who appreciate the sort of ideals that we're coming to the table with and who do want to work with us. And then there are people who want to consolidate power and who want to take your money, and they don't appreciate the low tax that we espouse.
Well, let's talk about what happened in the New Hampshire primaries and what that says about the growing political power of the Free State Project. Explain how you guys interact with actual candidates for office or people who are running, you know, local initiatives and things like that. What is your general stance? I mean, do you always back the Libertarian Party candidate? Are you tipping towards Republicans or Democrats, or do you not have that kind of interaction? How do you go about the political aspect of the Free State Project?
So the Free State Project is a 501c3, which means that we don't endorse any candidates or active legislation. But we are very grateful to work with organizations like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which endorsed over 100 Liberty candidates in New Hampshire this election cycle. And about 75% of those folks made it past the primary on Tuesday, which was primarily thanks to the strategic vision and super hard work of a lot of amazing volunteers who have been doing this for a long time.
So what does that mean then? So, you know, there's 100 candidates who kind of met the broad definition of a liberty-minded candidate. And were those people, were they running as independents, or were they running in all sorts of different parties? And, you know, how does that stack up?
They ran in all of the political parties. So they don't, NHLA doesn't identify candidates for endorsement based on what party they're in. Some of them are Republicans or Democrats or Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's about their, what they promise to do, and in some cases what they've already done if they are incumbents.
New Hampshire has one of the most active and vital chapters of the Libertarian Party in the United States. Can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, that history, but also how ballot access changed and really helped liberty-oriented candidates this time around in the state primaries?
Yeah, so New Hampshire has a pretty long history with the Libertarian Party. In 1991, the very first representative switched to the LP. And ballot access this time around means that anyone could pull an LP ballot, even if they're registered as a Republican or a Democrat, which resulted in a lot of kind of last-minute strategic changes about write-in candidates, about fusion candidates. So this would be somebody who can be in the general election as both as a liberty person, as a Libertarian Party candidate, and as a Republican or as a Democrat. So because anybody could pull an LP ballot, over 1,000 people did in New Hampshire in the primaries, which is a really, really exciting statistic.
When you say pulled an LP ballot, that means that they requested that, or they ran as with the LP party affiliation?
When they went to vote, they requested an LP ballot.
I see. Because at the primaries, you're going to vote in particular parties, and so 1,000 people said, "I want to vote in the LP primary."
Yeah. So when you're going to the primary, if you're a registered Democrat, you have to vote Democrat. If you're a registered Republican, you have to vote Republican. But because the LP got ballot access for the first time since the last time people were able to vote and change their registration, anybody, including independents, undeclared, Republican and Democrat, could request an LP ballot.
Oh, okay. And that had the effect of really ramping up, I guess, participation, but then also the particular outcomes.
Yeah. And I'm not an expert on election law or even election strategy. I'm not a political person. But this is a really interesting thing that's happening. And there's a lot going on here. And it's absolutely worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah. And how, like, what is the... And again, recognizing that the Free State Project officially doesn't endorse candidates or particular pieces of legislation or policies, but what are the types of legislative or policy changes that the Free State Project would be most interested in seeing take place that aren't in place yet?
I would say that our participants are pretty interested in repealing the death penalty, in making sex work legal, in making marijuana and potentially all recreational drugs legal.
What is the current status of pot? Pot is kind of the leading edge, currently a legal drug. What's the status of pot in New Hampshire?
We have medical marijuana,
but not,
and it's decriminalized.
Okay, so it's pretty. I'm assuming it's pretty easy to get and to, you know, to buy and sell and to use, but that's a world of difference from it actually being legal, such as it is in a place like Colorado, California, or Washington.
Well, and from what I understand, like, the anarchy perspective on something like that would maybe be a little bit more nuanced than, like, is it legal or is it not legal, right? I don't want my, like, voluntary interactions and sales with other people to be taxed by the state. So I think there's a lot of extra questions that you have to start answering when you think about what do you really want to happen.
Right. But I mean, by the same token, you would say that about all interactions, right? When you go to a hamburger joint, you don't necessarily want to tax and regulate it by the state.
Right. But I don't want to go to jail because I bought a hamburger.
Right. Okay. What if it's a medical hamburger? You know, most food, I think you could make a pretty strong case that most food is medical. So maybe it should be taxed at a lower rate than a typical purchase, right?
I probably want to be able to punish somebody if they sell me a hamburger that will injure me in some way,
right,
without telling me that it was going to injure me.
Yeah.
I definitely want there to be consequences, but.
What about, does New Hampshire still has state-owned liquor stores, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, and is that a high priority to, you know, just get that into the private sector?
You know, I think, like, on a theoretical basis, yes, it would be better. But since New Hampshire doesn't have, like, sales tax, it's really, really cheap to buy alcohol. So it's not actually, like, in a day-to-day activism, like, what's bothering you kind of way, it doesn't really bother that many people.
Oh, that's fascinating. So then what about the sales tax? Because there have been, you know, at the federal level, there have been laws saying, you know, that online vendors now have to collect sales tax based on where they're shipping stuff as opposed to where they're located. Is that just something that is pissing off New Hampshire people?
Actually, it's kind of crazy because maybe a month or so ago when that Wayfair decision went through, Governor Sununu, our governor, basically, like, threw down the gauntlet and was like, you cannot bring your federal sales tax to New Hampshire. He's like, we will start a fight. So I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I am preparing my arsenal.
Yeah. So it's what is the state of gun rights in New Hampshire? I assume it's a pretty liberal state when it comes to owning and carrying guns.
You would be wrong. No, we have constitutional carry, so anyone can carry concealed without a license.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. By liberal, I mean that it's kind of in the literal sense of the word, not the contemporary sense, that it has a robust set of gun rights.
That's correct, yeah.
And has that...
I think it's the best in the country.
Okay. And, you know, here, I guess, before we move on to a couple of other topics, you know, one of the odd things about moving to or setting up shop in New Hampshire was that New Hampshire, by most accounts, was already one of the most libertarian states in the country. Does that make it a challenge, actually, to, you know, to change the legal landscape? Because you might not have as far to go as if you were in, you know, Massachusetts or New Hampshire or Vermont.
I mean, just because other states are, like, terribly fascist doesn't mean that New Hampshire doesn't have a long way to go before real freedom is available to all of us.
All right. You mentioned Governor Sununu. How are your relationships? How does the Free State Project get along with the major powers that be that are not explicitly small L or capital L libertarian? Do you have a good relationship with the governor? Does he respect the Free State Project, or is he like, these guys are busting my chops all the time?
I mean, when you have 5,000 people who are ready to like start holding signs and signing petitions and kind of causing a pain in the ass for the guy in charge, then he starts to respect you.
Really? And what is then, has there been a particular moment where you could point to and say, you know, the Free State Project really has gotten, you know, has changed the way that he's thinking about things, much less talking about things?
So I would say that participants of the Free State Project have made a huge impact on a pretty significant number of laws in New Hampshire, one of the most recent ones being school choice and whether or not there was going to be a tax levied on Medicare, I think it is. Mm-hmm. So those two things, I'd say, are some of participants' most recent accomplishments.
And New Hampshire has one of the largest state legislatures, right, in the country?
That's right. We have 400 state representatives and 100 and some odd senators.
And so that makes it relatively, I mean, there are more people running and they represent relatively fewer people. So you can have more of a citizen legislature and citizens can engage people. Is that, what would you say are the ranks or, you know, what percentage of the assembly or of the legislature, both houses, is either Free State Project, you know, right out, outright, or is Free State Project friendly?
Well, over the course of our time here, I think we've had something like 50 or so elected reps who are officially Free Staters. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, it is already a pretty freedom-oriented state, so there are a lot of people who connect with the ideals of the Free State Project who are in office.
So let's talk about Liberty Forum. You guys have two big annual events. One is Pork Fest, a festival during the summer, which is a real fantastic place at a park, at a campground. I've been there. It's a hell of a lot of fun and always exciting. You also, in February, you have an event called Liberty Forum. And among the speakers that are going to be there, this is held in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Cody Wilson is going to be there of Defense Distributed. He's best known for creating the first or popularizing the first 3D printed gun. Talk about what Liberty Forum, who else is speaking there and why should people consider going there?
Liberty Forum is held in Manchester, New Hampshire.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's okay. Do you want to do the thing again or should we just move on?
I think we can just move on, but I acknowledge my mistakes and move on.
Sure. So Lee McGrath from the Institute of Justice will be coming to talk. Maj Touri from Black Guns Matter will be coming to talk. So we have a pretty interesting lineup. Carlos Morales, who talks a lot about injustices of child services and child protection. My favorite thing about Liberty Forum is that for people who are nervous about winter, this is a really great opportunity to see what it's actually like in New Hampshire in the wintertime. The people who ran Liberty Forum last year, Mel and Richard Gibson, are from Detroit. So it's not super warm there, but they came to New Hampshire the first year for Liberty Forum, and we got, I think, something like 6 feet of snow that weekend. Every single morning, they looked outside and the streets were already plowed. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really understand when they come from, you know, South Carolina and an inch of snow ends school for the day. What does it mean to be in New Hampshire? How is your life going to change in the winter? And it's a really great opportunity to connect with locals and learn more about some cool Liberty stuff.
I can speak to the, I hadn't thought about it in that sense that it actually teaches you not to fear the winter in New Hampshire. I've been to Liberty Forum, I think, twice. Both times there were significant snowstorms. One time there was a bunch of delays getting there because of snow. But you're right, it's actually, and I'm not a fan of cold weather or of snow generally, but it was amazingly functional. And it reminds me that there are large parts of the country that are ready, willing, and able to deal with snow and actually, and then also to enjoy it. So I hadn't really thought about it in that sense. In the past, you've had people like Judge Napolitano speak. You've had Edward Snowden. I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to interview Edward Snowden at Liberty Forum for the Free State Project and for Reason. What is the vibe that you go for at Liberty Forum?
It's more of a business type of conference. We have some good dinners where you get to dress up a little bit and hobnob and feel fancy. So that's always fun. And this year we are also going to be providing a children's space for kind of like at your own risk day caring.
All day so caring is at your own risk, right?
I guess that's true.
Childhood is... can you tell, what is your personal story that got you involved in the Free State Project, and how does that shine a light on some of the larger goals and objectives that you have for the organization now that you're the executive director?
So I come from a more like contemporarily liberal background, and I started to sort of question the state when I saw the prison industrial complex and how much we were spending on wars to fight people who happened to be living on top of oil. And then the banking crisis hit and we bailed out, you know, these huge corporations, and a lot of my peers were in pretty massive amounts of debt from college. And I was like, what happened to that social contract that I was promised? And then I started reading Michael Humer, who, wrote a book called The Problem of Political Authority, which basically disputes the concept of the social contract and like it's not possible to sign a piece of paper when you're born. And so I saw a video of him at Porkfest in 2013 and I was like, what is this place? I have got to go check it out. So my partner and I went to Porkfest and then Liberty, and then I came here and then I started volunteering and then I started working. So that's kind of my story of finding Liberty.
Where did you grow up?
Albany, New York.
Okay. And so it was really, I mean, it was current events of the past 20 years, current events and the example of the Free State Project that brought you to where you are.
It's true. Yeah. I'm very lucky to have found this community because I don't know, I would have been so angry, I think, at most of the world, if I didn't have the rest of my friends to commiserate with me on how terrible the government is.
Do you feel, you know, since 2016, which was the year when you guys crossed the 20,000 threshold of, you know, signers, so the great move was initiated. Do you feel like things in general, not necessarily New Hampshire or for the Free State Project, but you know, is the political scene, is the social scene, is the you know, kind of American scene for the type of world that you're imagining and creating up there, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about, you know, the next 5 to 10 years?
I mean, what really gets me going about the Free State Project and like the environment that we're creating here is that it's more of a living libertarian experiment as opposed to like a think tank. Like Reason, which does a great job of kind of spreading the message of liberty. In New Hampshire, we're living liberty. And so it's a bubble for sure, but I'm very happy to be in it. I hope that it pops and that it
spreads. All right. Well, we will leave
it
there. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Rachel Goldsmith. She's the executive director of the Free State Project. We were talking about the recent successes that liberty-oriented candidates had in the New Hampshire state primaries, as well as getting a preview of Liberty Forum, the Free State Project's annual winter event, which will take place in February in Manchester, New Hampshire. Rachel, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
This has been The Reason Podcast. I've been your host, Nick Gillespie. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google, wherever you get podcasts, and rate and review us while you're there. Thanks for listening.